Hi, I'm Annette Richmond. Thanks for joining me for the Smarter Business Moves podcast. If content marketing is part of your growth strategy, head over to my new podcast, Content Marketing School, and visit contentmarketingschoolonline.com for resources. Now let's get on with the show. Hi, I'm Annette Richmond. Thank you for joining me for the Smarter Career and Business Moves podcast. My goal is always to inform, educate, and inspire. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are joining us from. Thank you so much for being here. And I am so excited to have you as my guest today, Mary. We met on LinkedIn and kind of gotten to know each other. And so for people who don't know you, please tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Thank you, Annette, for having me on the show. I'm so glad that you reached out to me. I love having these conversations with other career and LinkedIn experts. I just think it's going to be fabulous. Well, hi, everyone. I'm Mary Fain Brandt. I'm a career and LinkedIn strategist. So I help you get packaged up so you can get known and get hired or get clients. I help people learn how to connect, cultivate, and convert the opportunities that are right in front of them using LinkedIn as the tool of how to do that.
Well, I love that. You know, LinkedIn is so powerful, but it's just a tool. And, you know, you have to be able to use it to your best advantage. And so that's where working with someone like you comes in. And, you know, also, of course, I'm so excited to delve into the whole personal branding topic. As you know, that's one of my favorite topics.
One of my favorites too.
I know. It's so... You know, it's so interesting to me because it's kind of different for depending on who you are and what you're doing. But and I think we all have our own ideas of kind of what defines personal branding. But I'd love to hear how you define it. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your thoughts on that.
Okay, so I'd like to start with that personal branding is for career professionals is relatively new, right? Mm-hmm. I think that the pandemic brought it to the forefront that as a professional, career professional or a job seeker that you needed to have a personal brand. I'm going to start with what personal branding isn't.
Okay.
Personal branding is not colors, fonts, and logos or your social images. Those are your brand assets, right? So a lot of times people think, well, you know, I'm going to use this color scheme and I'm always going to have coffee in the image and that's my personal branding. Those are your brand assets. So I just like to start with that so everyone's mm-hmm. clear. It's important to have those, but that's your brand assets. So personal branding, in my professional opinion, is kind of reputation management. It's also what are you known for, right? Mm-hmm. So a good personal brand, someone mentions your name, and they're going to describe what you're known for, what you want to be known for if it's done right. So someone who doesn't have personal branding, say Jim Jones, nothing's going to come to mind. But someone like Mary Fain Brandt, right, or other career professionals I worked with, you're going to automatically have something amazing to say about them because they have established, they have defined, established, and created a personal brand that really elevates them. So for like the high qualified executives, having a personal brand can really elevate them, not only in their workforce, right, in their workplace, they can be known within the company, but they can also, it can also help them get a job somewhere else.
Yeah, I so agree. And, you know, when I work with clients who are corporate clients, part of the process is to have them tell me what do you have a reputation for? What are you known for? And often what they will do if they're really engaged in the process is they will go to other people and say, you know, what do people know me for? And I think, right. And that's a great way to get that information because I want to move on to talking about how people figure out that brand. And I think that that might be a good place to start, you know, talk to other people. But what else do you think?
Well, it's so funny. We are so on the same page. Like, if we lived closer, we'd probably be meeting up for coffee and probably doing a career lab. Like, I can already tell, like, we're so there, Annette. So funny that you say, you know, your clients ask other people. I actually have an exercise that I give to my clients that says, I want you to text or email 10 people and ask them to give you three words that they think of when you walk in the room or someone mentions your name. And I don't want them to give them any context, because if you tell someone I'm working on my personal brand or it's for my job, they're not going to be as open with their answers. And I also have them that they have to ask family and friends, because the days of slicing personal to professional, we are all sliced in different sections. Like, that has morphed, and we are who we are at work and at home, and it's okay. So I like to have a 360 view of your personal brand.
And so we've talked a bit about corporate, and we can certainly get back to that. So what about other career professionals? People like us who are just trying
Ooh.
to figure it out, what is their personal brand?
So again, kind of the same exercise. And I have to say that it took me a while because I thought I had to be in this box. So my biggest takeaway from my own journey of figuring out what my personal brand was is to be 100% yourself. Everybody else is taken. So what are you great at? For me, I'm a connector. God gave me this talent to connect people, places, and things. I am known as a connector, and I received an award at Hera Hub for it. I was told, like, you've got to come to our event. I was like, oh, I think I'm going to try maybe. And my friend Melissa was like, no, you really need to come. I was like, okay. They created this award for me because I am known as connecting people. I like, oh, you should meet Melissa, or you should meet Tom over here. I just think you guys would hit it off. Whether they're going to do business, work together, play golf together, like, I am that connector. And then also in my corporate days, I was known as, like, go ask Mary. If it was tech, if it was Google and email or Microsoft Word, all that stuff, go ask Mary. She'll know how to do that. So, as a business owner, you take those skill sets and what you're known for, and you infuse that to your new brand. Right now, I'm kind of known as that fun and informative coach. I just signed on a new client, and we had our like second session, and we were working on her profile. And at the end, she goes, "Oh, that wasn't so painful." Think I should change my train with Fain hashtag to no pain with Fain hashtag. So
I like that. I like that.
right,
It's
it's
always
not
good to have
painful.
those. To have those things. And it's so true. And the word authentic gets thrown around all the time. And personally, I mean, I hate that, like, authentic, but it is really being you. And I think part of that, and I was just talking to someone about this the other day, of when people are doing content on LinkedIn, say they're writing a post on LinkedIn. And some people, I think, make the mistake of trying to sound smart or too professional and not like themselves. And if I'm writing something and I say, well, you're gonna, benefit from this, I will say it just like that and write it just like that, because that's how I would speak in a more casual tone. And if I'm being like that, and I think
100%.
that's part of what you're talking about is being you, being who you are.
Yeah. So funny that you say writing in a casual tone. If you've been following me at all, you know that my tone is pretty casual and infused with coffee. I love coffee. So my brand, like, I got it down to four words after being in the business for a while. It's fun and informative because I'm very strategic when I work with clients. Like, we have our checklist, we have a client portal, like, boom, boom, boom. But it's also fun. And then it's casual and conversational, because when I tried to write and present as, a corporate professional, I wasn't relatable to my audience. And I got that feedback. People were like, I did a webinar and I was so scared of not sounding smart, of not saying the right thing at the right time, that I had a script and it did not convert well. And the feedback was like, oh, that's not the Mary I know. Like, what happened to your personality? So understanding that you need to show up as yourself online and in person. So, it takes a little practice. You have to step into it. But I think that writing how you speak is super important on LinkedIn. It makes you more relatable. And then when someone does meet you, either on a live show or in person, a networking event, it's the same person. There's not going to be a disconnect.
Yeah, I love that. And I agree with that completely. And I think the more you do it, and I think being on events and being live can be helpful for that. And I want to ask you about being on events a little bit, but before I do, I want to talk a little bit about the LinkedIn profile, specifically the about section. And I know that, like, I encourage my clients, if I work with them on their profile, people are going there. They're not wanting to just see a regurgitation of your resume. No. When they look at your about, they want to know a little bit about you, right? And who you are. So what's your suggestions for someone, say, in corporate to show a bit of who they are in their about section specifically?
Yeah. So there's a couple different ways you can do that. So if you've been in the business for 20 years, maybe you can tell a little bit about your career journey at the beginning of your about section. Like, why did you, I worked with someone who was a marketing for architectural, very unusual. Like, I'd never heard of it. Right. But it's a career path. And she told me this story about it all started with a car accident. So, how her story started. The other thing that I love to do is, because I am with you, there's a person behind every profile. So when someone's reading your profile, it is typically most of the time not a robot, right? And as a career professional, you want to be relatable to the person reading that. So how do you do that? Infuse something that's personal. And a lot of corporate professionals are a little like, ooh, I don't know. I don't want to share anything about me. But I encourage them at the bottom to say, when I'm not producing sales 10 times, doing 10 times sales, or when I'm not speaking on stages, you can find me at my local coffee shop enjoying a vanilla almond latte, with my pit bull or whatever. I'm making that up.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I always ask people, what made you go into this career or whatever in the first place, and which I'm sure you do as well. And when you mentioned marketing, I worked with someone who is a CMO. And one of the things that we talked about is that he actually studied anthropology in college. Mm-hmm. And so it made him really be able to understand different cultures. So I think things like that are, it's something if a recruiter or hiring manager is looking at, 25 or 30 profiles, that's something they remember in a positive way.
Yes. You want to stand out. So your about you section shouldn't be a duplicate of your resume. You want it to, you have 2,600 characters. It's an opportunity for you to tell your story, to showcase what you do, but what makes you unique? Is it because of what you studied? Did you travel the world so you understand different cultures? Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're going into HR or something like that would be a selling point, right? Yeah. For me, one of my things is, volunteering and giving back. Like, that's just in my DNA. Mm-hmm. And that is on my profile. And I talk a lot about it. You see a lot of posts coming out like, so excited that, so grateful that I got the opportunity to do mock interviews for foster children. Boy, we just did that last month and it was amazing. It was all day. I was dragging my feet. I'm like, why did I sign up for this? I have to drive an hour to get there, and then I'm there all day. But at the end of the day, I was like, wow, I'm so lucky that I got to do this and hopefully made a difference in at least one child's life. And so just showcasing who you are as a person, I think, is a game changer on LinkedIn. Don't copy everyone else. Don't regurgitate your resume. Put in there, I don't know if you know this, Annette. I think most people know. People try to talk up, at a higher level on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. But did you know that the average reading level of someone on LinkedIn is 10th grade?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's the same with like the New York Times. It's, right? Yeah, I know.
So in layman terms, I'm like, dumb it down, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Dumb it down so we can all understand it. Make it fun.
Yeah, I've had writing teachers tell me, don't use a quarter word when a nickel word will do. And I think of that, right? It's just, and it's something that again, that's something else that's just memorable. And it is true. People try to sound or be like
Yes.
they think they should be, and whatever it is, this image they think, and it is so much better to just be you. And I want to just briefly touch on, because I think you'll have some good tips for this, with the idea of the headshot. Now, I had a headshot that was for years, that was like, it was older, and I thought it was great. And the thing is, so many people, they have a headshot that's either 10 years old, or they go to a professional photographer and it's Photoshopped so that it doesn't even look like
Hello.
them. And I think that is like so bad, because you're going to meet people eventually, right?
Yeah, I think it's awful. So here's the rule of thumb. You should update your headshot every 2 to 3 years because we change. And I know that's hard, women. Women out there, I know you want to keep that 35, 45, whatever year photo. I get that. I get that of all people. I just had two photo shoots this year, one in Arizona, one in San Diego. One of them, I'm actually wearing this shirt. But you need to be yourself. And I'm going to share a quick story. I met a woman on LinkedIn. We were going to meet for coffee. Short story. I was at Starbucks. I text her, "Hey, where are you?" She's like, "Oh, I'm right over here by the window." I walked right past her. She didn't look like her photo. So, and when that happens, I just had this conversation with someone else. Like, when that happens, you're like, why aren't they being themselves? What else are they hiding? So, I love having a photo shoot done, and you can do like a mini photo shoot if you're a business owner. Like, we did like I think like an hour and a half one at a coffee shop, of course. Both of my photo shoots were at coffee shops, you guys. But you can do like a mini one. And also, the cell phones these days, they, if you don't have the budget, they take pretty good photos. Just make sure the light is in front of you, not behind you. And if anyone needs, like, if you have a bad background in the back, there's apps. But if you're not tech savvy, Hani Keller, she does an amazing job. She's just another colleague. She can remove the background and like lighten it up, just so that sometimes your face is too dark. Amazing. I've actually used her, as some of my clients have, as my husband has too.
No, it really does. It makes all the difference. And I feel that way too. You want to make sure that people understand you. And I am so low key, I have to tell you, I change my photos up all the time and I take them myself. And it's just like,
Good for you.
but with I did that with my husband too. I took some photos of him, and then I went on Canva and I put a different background behind him.
Oh, there you
And
go.
got him to use that, because he had been using a photo from when he won a trophy for one of his cars at a car show. And I'm like, that's fine, but you know what? That's not what people want to see on LinkedIn. And so, it is so simple, because
Keep it simple.
I talk to clients and they say, well, I'm waiting till I can book the photo shoot. And if you can, I say do it. That's fabulous. But even in the meantime, get something new.
Yeah. And I know I called out women, but you just reminded me, I've had three gentlemen, and when I met them on Zoom, I was like, "Oh, doesn't look anything like that profile photo." So men can be a little vain too. I don't want to, let's call it out. We all, as we get older, we're like, "No, I want to keep that, 50-year-old picture or something."
I know.
But
I
just be
know.
yourself.
And it's the last thing I will mention on this is, when I was working as a recruiter, I was working with we were working with a client. It was this within digital marketing. And one of the candidates that I presented was in her 60s. Now, she just happened to tell me this at the time. We were just chatting, we became kind of friendly. And her picture was her. And she was one of the top candidates. Now, they didn't hire her, but she quickly got another job because her photo was engaging and vibrant. And people are so afraid. I know
They
that
are.
of looking, hey, look, I'd like to be younger, but you know what? I'm not. I am who I am. So I'd like to ask you a little bit about shifting, if you want to shift your brand. Now, I did this myself in the last couple of years, from being sort of trying to be known as a resume writer to being more of a personal brand strategist. And it really represented what I was doing with my clients anyway.
Right.
But what are some of your suggestions for people who want to, shift like that?
Well, you're going to have to update your profile. If you keep the same profile, right, that's not going to represent your new brand or your shift in your career or business. Number one, that, do a new background banner that really represents the new shift. I love using a stat or a quote that ties into your business and your brand. Mm-hmm. The other thing is content. You got to start shifting your content to represent the work that you're doing, right? So instead of posting about resumes, resume tips, the ATS system, you're going to be talking about, it all starts with building, with defining and building your brand. You can learn how to stand out against your competition by having a stellar brand. So content and your profile. And I think doing a little market research. So I'm really into the market research and having some conversations, because a lot of times we think we know the words that our clients are looking for, or we think being clever is really great, like making up our own titles. And this is something I was guilty of, but sometimes just going with the simple terms, career coach, right? LinkedIn, optimization, so I think doing some research calls of, what the pain points are for that market shift that you're doing. I think that can help with your brand and your brand elements and your content and everything.
Yeah. I love you. And thank you for saying that. And now, I was a magazine writer before I got into the career field.
Oh, nice.
And so when I first started, when I had a career site and I was publishing, articles on it, I always wanted to have these clever names, the clever titles, because that's what I was kind of came from. And it took me a while, but I learned to just have it simple so that people understand exactly, what you're going to tell them. So I love that you have emphasized so often to keep it simple.
Yeah. Well, as a creative person, I'm a creative person. I always wanted to have something fun and different. I didn't want to be boring, right? But through my journey, like using terms that you're a potential employer is searching for, your potential clients are searching for, you can have some fun in your about you section. Like, I have someone that in her private group, right? They call her unicorn sparkle glitters or something. So we're infusing that within her profile, but it's not a search term anyone's going to search for in 2023, maybe in 2025. who knows? I mean, everything's changing so fast, right, Annette? It's hard to keep on top of trends and what is working.
So I have a question, because we've been kind of like talking around this. Okay. And when we're talking about sharing on LinkedIn, in your about section, in content, if you are even a career professional, you're executive, you want to be sharing some content, in your status updates. And, there's something that I heard the term years ago, I learned from someone on Clubhouse, and I've been using it ever since, is the idea of having, your professional, your personal, and your private. Now, for all of us, we post professional, it's about what you do, obviously. For me, personal is maybe I'm at a football game with my husband or, my dogs. People would rather see the dogs than me, frankly. But the personal, I mean, the private is something that I'm just talking about with like my very small circle of friends. And so, but what I want to ask you your take about, because this is also a favorite topic of mine, is I hear coaches sometimes pushing their clients, pushing people to be vulnerable and sharing the private, which is different for everyone. And I'm just curious about, what is your take on that?
I think it's different for everyone. Not everything belongs on LinkedIn. Let's start with that. Private can mean different things. If you learned a lesson, maybe you got fired from a job 20 years ago and you don't really talk about that, but maybe there's a lesson there. And it led you to go back to school to fine tune your skills, right? Maybe that's a private story that when shared properly on LinkedIn can elevate your brand. I know that was it in 2021, the CEO that fired everybody. He was crying on LinkedIn. Hardest thing he's ever done. You don't share the story in the moment like that. You share it 6 months later, like, has anyone ever had to fire all their staff? It was a devastating time for me. I probably didn't handle it right. I did the best I could. Here's what I learned from it. Three tips, right? So I think, you know, that's a conversation I have with each of my clients. I always say, I will never ask you to post something that you're not comfortable with. However, I will ask you to think outside the box and to stretch yourself. Because if all you're ever going to post is stuff that puts you as a thought leader, you're not putting your full self out there and you're not going to, you know, you're not being relatable.
No, I like that idea too, and I am more apt to share something if I think it can help someone else. This is what I did, it was a mistake or
Exactly.
whatever. And the problem, I think, because everyone knows of that sort of infamous post by that CEO, is it really came off as very self-serving. And it did not give the get the attention that I think he wanted.
Yeah, it didn't work in the way he thought it would work. So I think you should share some vulnerable things. I don't think you should overshare them. Like if I'm seeing a vulnerable post by you every week or every 2 weeks, I'm like, okay, that's self-serving. You're doing that to get those views and likes and comments. Because you know, let's be honest though, Annette, the personal posts kind of do well on
Yeah,
LinkedIn these days.
I know.
They really do. But do I want my feed filled with that? No. It will make me not engage with you if all you're posting is every week, woe is me, every week, hey, I did this. You know, some things belong on Instagram and Facebook. Every platform has its place.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And I so agree with you. So, you know, we are getting to the end of our time. It has just
Already?
flown by.
What?
I know. And so I'd like to ask you to, you know, we've talked about a lot of different things. And I'd love to have you just share whatever final thoughts that you have that you know, maybe something I didn't ask you, we didn't discuss that you'd like to share and let people know how they can sort of get in touch with you.
Sure. I just want to encourage all the job seekers, career professionals out there to take pause and to really review their career and to create a career journey, review their career journey, create a career path. So my whole thing this year is how to become the CEO of your career. And I think that's really going to resonate with a lot of people. After COVID, a lot of people did take stock and they made pivots, but I really want people to own their career. Stop letting companies or your boss dictate your career journey. It's time for you to own it and make the changes that you need to make to be happy at your job, to make the money that you want. So that's my final thought. Learn how to become the CEO of your career. And then, of course, you can connect with me here on LinkedIn. I'm going to give you my email address because you need it to connect. It's hello@maryfanebrandt.com, which is a lot of words, I know. So you can just go to my contact information and find it because you will need that to actually connect with me. And then I do ask that you send me a message and say that you saw me on the Smarter Career and Business Move show because I have a strong network and I only connect with people if they send me a message or we've actually spoken or been on a Zoom call or something.
Well, I thank you for that, and that is so important too, to bring in those two final points at the end, send that personalized connection
Yes.
request. And so I thank you so much for being here with me. It has been a treat to chat with you, and the time has just flown by as I thought it
Did.
would, because this is such a favorite topic of both of ours. And so
Yes.
thank you again, and to everyone who's listening, who's been here now and in the replay, or is listening on the podcast, thank you so much for being here as well. So, have a great rest of your day. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Smarter Career and Business Moves podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe.